Today our parables are on prayer. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 11, and we're going to start reading with verse 1. Luke 11 and verse 1. Came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give you. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and him that knocks it shall be opened. If the son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Lord's been praying, and his disciples come to him, and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. We realize prayer is important. We see you spending hours in prayer. Teach us how to pray. And then he gives them what is often called the Lord's Prayer. Actually, it's really the disciples' prayer. It wasn't a prayer that he himself could pray because he had no sins to be forgiven. But it was a sample prayer, a model prayer for them. Now let me say, I feel it's a big mistake just to say this prayer automatically at every occasion as if just going over it like turning a prayer wheel is going to do something. The Lord never intended this prayer simply to be memorized and to be used as a substitute for your own prayers from your heart. And it's a mistake many make. They think prayer means you just automatically recite the Lord's Prayer and your mind can be out of gear and you can think about going fishing or the baseball game or anything else, but the words somehow will do something magical. And certainly the Lord never intended that. But he intended to give his disciples some ideas about things that they should pray for and attitudes they should have as they pray. So it's a model prayer, but it's not a prayer that is to be a substitute for our own prayers from our own hearts. At the conclusion of telling him about this prayer, he gives this parable about this man who comes in the middle of the night and he beats on the door, just knocks on the door of his friend, and he says, look, I had company come unexpectedly and I'm out of bread. Could you loan me some loaves of bread? Please loan me 3 loaves of bread. Well, at first the man's response is, I'm in bed, I'm tired, the door is locked, it's late at night, the children are sleeping, I'm sleeping, I don't want to be bothered. Maybe even acts for a while as if he doesn't hear. But the man just keeps beating on that door, he won't go away, you know? He says, I need bread. Finally the fellow gets up and he gets bread for his friend. Not even primarily because he's his friend, the Lord Jesus says, but because he's so persistent. And the guy says, I want to get some sleep. so I'll give him the rest. And the Lord says, you be persistent in your prayer. Ask, he says, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Never give up praying. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, pray without ceasing. Or one translation, I believe, puts it, never stop praying. Always pray. Persist in prayer. Now, there are, of course, some very real contrasts in this parable. God is not like this friend who's in bed and asleep. Our God never slumbers or sleeps. We don't have to worry about this. We don't have to be concerned about trying to wake him up. You remember Elijah on Mount Carmel said to the priests of Baal, you're going to have to shout louder. You're going to have to make more noise. Maybe your God's asleep. Our God does not have to be awakened out of sleep to answer our requests. He's always alert. He's always awake. He's always conscious of our needs. He's interested in us, deeply, deeply concerned for us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And so the God who's given his best, who's given Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, is a God who wants to give and give and give. He's not a God who is reluctant and a God who is holding back from us. He's a God who loves to give. He really cares for us. He's concerned for us. He loves us. And there's kind of a mystery here, I suppose. If he does this, why should we even need to pray? And yet, the mystery of prayer is that he responds. In praying, oftentimes our own attitudes are changed. Perhaps there are things you begin to pray for, and as you pray, you'll discover it's not a very wise request, Lord. Maybe there are things you pray for, and as you pray, you come to the point where you say, not my will, but thine be done. And as we pray, our own wills come into line more and more with the will of God. And we're submissive. And really, this is what our attitude should be in prayer. It isn't that we come in our wisdom to insist that God do something for us. He's not an errand boy for us. He's not, the genie who's going to answer all of our desires and requests. But he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is God. We come as finite creatures, as those who are weak and dependent. We come to him. And as we pray then, and pray persistently, he says, don't quit praying. These things that are on your hearts, continue to pray for. But as we pray, I think we find our own wills more and more submissive to the will of God. We're willing to submit. We come to the point where we accept perhaps that even that for which we ask is not his will, and we submit to that and believe that that is God's best for us. I think of Paul, who says that he pleaded 3 times for this thorn in the flesh to be removed from him, this physical problem, whatever it is, and people here differ. Some have thought he had some chronic eye problem, although that might be questioned. Some have thought that perhaps he had malaria. William Ramsey, I believe, held this view that recurred and constantly troubled him. But regardless of what it was, this was something that the Lord did not see fit to remove from him. Then the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. I'm not going to remove it. You go ahead and bear this. Do not persist any longer. Accept the fact that it's my will for you not to be healed at present. And so when, after he had persisted a while, he came to a point of acceptance. And he said, well, I accept this, Lord. This is your will for me, and I will ask no more. So sometimes this happens as we pray. We come to a point here of real acceptance, and we may change the direction of our prayer and the content of our prayer, and we simply say, Lord, you're so wise, and I'm so helpless and so limited by my knowledge and by my wisdom, your will be done. And maybe those things that we thought were so important and those things that we said I must have, we come to realize they don't really matter that much. What matters is the will of God. But he encourages in this parable, be persistent. Be persistent. And as we pray persistently, God works and he responds. He answers prayer. So that we, by our prayers, are able to affect circumstances. We're able to affect the moving of God in the lives of others. It's kind of amazing that as we pray, we can influence events and people in other parts of the world. How important to pray. How important it is for our own spiritual well-being. And how important it is, really, for the progress of God's work. He says, pray without ceasing. Keep on seeking, that's the force of it. Keep on asking, keep on knocking, and you're going to receive. And you'll receive good things. He says, if a son asks of his father, for example, bread, will he give him a stone? Our fathers are concerned to give us those things that are for our best. They love us. Even though, he says, they're sinful, they're not perfect. How much more now will our Heavenly Father, who has infinite wisdom and love for us, as we pray to him, will he not give us the best? Will he not give us spiritual blessings? This, I think, is what the Holy Spirit in this passage refers to. He's going to give us himself. He's going to give the Holy Spirit. He's going to give us all spiritual blessings. He is going to bless us abundantly. And we can trust him. He loves us. He really cares for us. So the Lord says, keep on praying. I hope you have a prayer list. I hope you persist in praying for those who don't know the Lord and praying for Christian friends. And, of course, there are material needs. You may need a job. You may need housing, various things that we need, although the truth is many times we pray for wants rather than just needs. But remember, your Father loves you. He cares for you. And remember, he promises to respond to your prayers. May the Lord help us to be a praying people.